Hello everyone and welcome to the most tutorialistic podcast in the world, House of Games. Today I'm joined by my host and tutor, Mr. Uno. But you ain't much of a tutor without a slob like myself, Rune. So, I just ran up the stairs and I lost my breath. We kicked this year off with a second episode as a duo, but do not fear, guests are in the pipeline, my dear. But before we get there, let's open this week's episode of House of Games. Oh.
Welcome everyone to this newest episode of House of Games. And I think this episode we're gonna do a re-recording of a previous episode that never got aired. So this time we're gonna talk about tutorials. So I think everything from like examples that we like and how we think about it ourselves and everything in between, I think. So I think to set the mood of the topic, I suppose, I could start talking about some examples I like myself. So, and don't like, I suppose. So I think you have, so the mission with the tutorial is to teach the player something, how to do something in the game. I think there's different ways to do that. And there's, to me, on the spectrum of good and bad, you have the bad in one end, which is like, for example, in some fighting games, for example, you have there's a pop-up box which says something like press A to hit and you do that, and then another one for the next control, and then you have like 120 like pop-ups in between every command that's possible in the entire game and every combo and things, and then that's the tutorial. Like, you're, in my opinion, you're not learning anything. You're just clicking on pop-ups and then doing some command that you'll forget 5 minutes later. So that's like, in my mind, like the worst examples of tutorials. And then you have the best examples in my mind, which is Valve, for example, their philosophy, which is like visual storytelling, where they teach you how to do something, like, for example, to fight the boss, for example. They'll just show you the boss a couple of minutes before even encountering it yourself, so you get an idea what you're about to fight, and then they perhaps give you some visual clue or something to guide you to sort of figure it out yourself and get sort of an aha moment. So that's like how I wish every game would do it. What's your thoughts, Rune?
Well, I don't like tutorials at all, but the types of games I play, usually JRPGs or RPGs in general, or the Souls-like games. The Souls-like games don't have anything, and I absolutely love that, because it just, it's part of the style, I think. Everything is difficult, and even they don't tell you what to do. The downside with that is that when you find a rare item, it doesn't even tell you what it is, and then you have to try it out. But I'm so like OCD when with my inventory, I don't want to waste anything. I'm getting better at that nowadays, because I find myself not using any of these items that I might think I need later, and then I finish the whole game without using them ever. So I'm trying to be better at using stuff like that. But point is that these games don't have tutorials in general, and I think that's really nice. You just get straight into the action. That's how Knife Boy was. I mean, I was sort of inspired with that when it comes to Knife Boy. There's no tutorials or nothing. You just go straight into the game. In the Red Colony games, there's just a small pop-up thing. I can't even remember now what it says, but I think it is like, it briefly explains maybe like, go here or press X to open your inventory or something like that. I can't even remember what it was, but it's very, like, not much at all in terms of tutorials. But I did play what is it called, Chronicles 3 on the Nintendo Switch. It's not called Chronicle 3. I feel like it's a chronicle word in it. It's a JRPG. And that it has so many things in it and so many mechanics and so much of like very complex fighting systems and all that. So those games, they usually have a long sort of, they stop you in your tracks and just tell you what to do, which I find super annoying. And then it's just so much text all in one. So you don't even remember, like you said, it doesn't really teach me anything because I don't remember any of that. And the third game, I play that for, I don't know, maybe I spend it 30 hours.
Is it Chrono Trigger?
No, it is... let me check really quick. Switch Chronicles games. It's a... Xenoblade Chronicles. There we go. Xenoblade, maybe. Chronicles 3. So I played the third game for a very long time, and I never learned how to... Now I can't quite remember what it was, but there was something... A mechanic in the fight. Actually, it was sort of to transform into the weapon you hold, and you became like a beast-ish. I never figured out how to do that. So every battle was quite... I wouldn't say difficult, but it was just like long because it took forever to kill the enemies, which is kind of the worst of two worlds because first, it's not that difficult. It's just like grindy. But if I knew how to turn myself into a Xenoblade monster, you had a higher hit and then you could kill them faster. But I never figured out how to do it. And there was another thing. I think you could link them. Oh, that maybe that was a thing that you could link your characters and they will make a bigger and badass combo attack, which would kill these enemies quicker. But I just never figured out how to do it because it's they sort of mention it in a tutorial. And I can't even remember if the tutorial let you do it. And even if you did do it, it was like, you know, sometimes the tutorial would tell you like, press X now, and then you press X. And then something happens. And then now you choose your other character. And then that you do that. And then it's really strange tutorial. And it's only like once you do it. Now, of course, I believe you can go into the menus and sort of find them again. And they will sort of explain it again. But overall, I think that's bad design. Final Fantasy is pretty good at also telling you, like, for example, how you level up. So press start, you press start, and then it sort of gray out all the other options except the level up tree, for example, and then you can only choose that one, and then it takes you into the level tree or whatever, and then you pick your level up from there. And I feel like it's not really... I sort of compare it to when I'm sitting in a car and someone else is driving. I don't really pay attention to where we're going or how we got there, because I'm not driving. And then if I were to go there the next day myself, I would have no, like, oh man, I didn't really pay attention to anything. I can't remember. Do we take a left here or there? And here in Tokyo, you know, it's streets everywhere. But if I drive myself, I will never forget how to get there because I did it myself. And I feel like these types of tutorials are kind of like that. You're sitting next to the driver. You don't really do it yourself. So it doesn't really teach you anything anyway. So those are really frustrating. I'm gonna say one more thing because my wife's cousins are here and we played Fortnite. We do that every year. That's the only time I play Fortnite. But I had to download it to my PC because I forgot my Switch. I only brought the dock station. Talk about disappointment when I'm like, all right, kids, let's play Fortnite. And I just pull up the dock station and the Switch itself was not in it. So I had to download it to my computer and then I had to start a Epic account. And this is something I find with game menus nowadays, or websites even. When you start your Discord for the first time, it has these pop-up things everywhere. Oh, so frustrating. So it's like, and then in my head I have this Silicon Valley voice like, hello there, guy. Are you ready to play? And then it's like right. Sort of gray everything out except where you, like, there's like a little thing coming up like, I'm over here now. You better press here to meet your friends. And it's like, oh, for fuck's sake, like, skip. So I hate that kind of stuff. And yeah, well, that's what I have to say about that, too. I feel like these tutorials are making their ways into internet websites even. And it's just so frustrating. So, but I never thought about Half-Life part, what you mentioned. And I think that's... I mean, that's just the best thing ever, obviously. Zelda, by the way, does that too. It teaches you how to use certain things and then you fight the boss and then you you just know what to do because you have got the hook shot earlier that level and so on. I think that's the best way of doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really, as you say, I don't really like the style of holding your hand too much. Like, if you have, like, you have to go through this complex menu to do this thing and you can only choose one thing in it anyhow, then, you know, I think also, like, a tutorial should test your knowledge by, like, requiring you to do something, like, but you're still able to do, like, do it incorrectly and not pass. Like, say, for example, you're teaching the player to jump, and then you should require them to jump over a pit or else they will die. So then eventually they will have to master it or at least learn the basics to be able to proceed, I guess.
I have one more thing about these complex JRPGs in particular. One thing I also noticed when I played these Chronicle Blades games, the second game, I finished the entire game, like, they have really complex systems, so I don't really know what's the right answer to tutorial those things. Actually, I have another example I will bring up after this, but I didn't learn any of it, yet I finished the game. So what was the point of all having all that stuff? Clearly, I didn't need it. And then you might say, well, it's for people who like to go down that rabbit hole, and but I still don't quite get it. Like, I would think that the tutorial should help you get to know the game and get strong or like better, but I clearly didn't need any of it because I still finished the game. Another example would be I played Devil May Cry 4 last year and on my Steam Deck, and there was another thing, like, I got like a billion like up skills, let's say, but it's just so overwhelming, so I couldn't be arsed to use any of it. I would just unlock them for OCD reasons, but I will never use them because, well, I know this comb and it seems to I can make it through the entire game with just using this. But in that game's case, I guess the counter argument would be that it makes you look cool, like all the things you do makes you look really cool, so maybe that would be a reason why they have all those skills. But clearly you don't need them to finish the game. Who knows, maybe upper difficulties, the hardest difficulty, maybe you need to use them, but so far I haven't had to use any of them. Like, I used to use very basic stuff and I made it through the game, so.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And another point is, like, something that I also don't like is when the tutorial is too, like, linear in the beginning. So something like where you have, an open world game or something like that, and then, like, the tutorial level is, like, super linear, and you can't get out of it. So, say, for example, Fallout 3, for example, you're locked in this little vault, and you can't go and do all of the stuff. It's just the tutorial and nothing else. And you sort of, like, for me at least, I'm, like, sort of waiting for the tutorial to end so I can, like, start playing the game, because I'm not enjoying until I can do whatever I want. Something like that.
But in that case, well, with Fallout, like, don't you think that when you get out of the vault, that feeling, that might be less exciting if you didn't have to stay inside a vault for, you know, 30 minutes?
Yeah, true, very true. I would say that. I mean, Fallout 3 isn't the worst example, but yes, I totally agree that it makes the moment better, of course.
No, but I get your overall point. It's frustrating when it's like that.
Yeah. So, like, for example, if we compare, for example, I think it was like the first Assassin's Creed game, they did something like that where you have like the like loading screen background basically, which is just a gray fog or something, and you have to do like every action in the game for like half an hour before you can even start playing the game. And then versus I'm now playing Assassin's Creed Unity, which is really amazing. So they have a very short, like, for me it took 10 minutes to do like the opening cutscene thingy, which is a bit tutorially, And then after a while, then you get to, quite quickly, you get to an open world, which is like you can go and explore and just like ignore the main story if you want to, and then just do the exploring part first, which is like how I like to experience it. And then if you do like to do the main story and the tutorial stuff first, you can do that. So in my mind, if possible, that's a much better way to do it.
I was thinking, now that we talk about tutorials, so in Sunset Moon there will be no tutorials, because I'm sure that would kind of ruin the game. I feel like part of the game is to figure things out yourself. And again, if you have played those types of games, you probably know what to do anyway. But I am planning to have like information boxes, like if you hover over an item, maybe you can press a button and some information comes up. But anyway, I am doing this, trying to finalize the demo now, and I have this quite slow start of the game, that the boat is coming into Sunset Moon, this island. And I'm thinking, like, I want to have an option in the start menu to skip that boat ride. But then again, I'm also thinking, well, I don't want people to skip it. Because especially the first time you play the game, I want you to be on the boat. Kind of like, I realize now that it's kind of like the Half-Life game when you were in this gondola in the beginning of the game, which I talked about before. Yeah, right. Because I just want to show, because you're sort of like cruising in front of the island, and you will see a little bit of things happening in the background on the island, which should hopefully give you an idea or a feeling of what kind of island you've come to. And then I was thinking about tutorials and stuff like that. Right. The worst part is when they don't let you skip tutorials, for example, when you've already played the game, or even certain cutscenes in certain games can be really frustrating when they don't let you skip them. So then I was just thinking, in my game, I think I'm not gonna allow you to skip the tutorial the first time around, but if you have like a save slot on your machine, the script should feel that, and then it will allow you to skip that tutorial. Or it wouldn't even be a tutorial, but anyway, in tutorials in general, that's something that you should be able to do, skip tutorials. Some games don't allow you, and that's super frustrating. In this Chronicle games, they can sort of, they ask you if you want to skip them. And I know myself, like, it doesn't matter if I read all of that, because I won't understand how to use it anyway until I'm in a situation. Like, well, when I am in this situation, it wouldn't have mattered if I read how to use my stuff. I am more like a practical guy. I need to learn things while I'm there and in the fight or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I would totally agree. And it feels like, since games are an interactive medium, why not use that to your advantage to teach things? So I, totally agree. I think also, like, there's also like some examples, in my opinion, of doing that too much. So you have, for example, The Witness. I think when you start that game, it's a puzzle game. And I guess that's not my favorite type of game, so I might be biased, so I'll take this with a grain of salt. But like, when you start that, I think you don't get to a start menu or anything. The game just starts, and then you have this FPS controller, basically. And you don't know where you are or what you're supposed to do. And you have basically this giant island full of puzzles that unlock stuff until you eventually, I suppose, finish the game. I haven't, because I got sick and tired of it. But that's sort of something where there's like no text in the game, as far as I can recall. There's just symbols and stuff that you have to find to sort of figure out what you're supposed to do. And and the way that did it is that you really get stuck quite quickly with certain puzzles that you have no idea how they work or why they work, or maybe there's a clue in some other part of the island or something. And there I almost wish that there would be at least some text or something to show you what you're supposed to do or how you can figure it out, for example. Maybe hints or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I played Witness 2, maybe 2 hours or something like that. But I had also quit playing it. I do like puzzle games, but if memory serves, some puzzles you can't solve straight away. Like you need to. No, you don't get upgrades and stuff. Like maybe I just sucked. I feel like maybe I needed something in order to solve them, but maybe I could solve them. I just couldn't figure it out. But now I can't remember.
Yeah, that's another point, by the way. That's something I also don't really like, that, you know, where you are free to do whatever you want in the game, but you have certain stuff that are locked to you, but the game doesn't like clearly communicate that you're not able to do this thing, and so you're like trying and trying and trying and sitting there for an hour trying to do this thing, whatever it is, and then eventually you give up because you think you suck, but in reality, like, nobody can do it because the content is just locked. So that's also something that I wish, like, for example, The Witness would communicate more clearly.
Ah, so if it was in that, like that in The Witness, I remember now that I quit it because it was I had too many of those places where I couldn't go now and do the puzzle. And then it was just like this boggling feeling. It's like a Metroidvania. The beautiful thing with those games is that you find a couple of places you can't reach, and it's quite clear you can't. And then you just have like a memory in your head, like, okay, I remember here, I can't go until I have something that can make, maybe I can grab onto that thing or whatever. And then when you get that later on, you run back and do that. But I feel like in Metroidvanias, that does it well is that there are just a couple of those places, so you can remember all of them. But in Witness, if I remember correctly, it was just all over the place. And I was like, Jesus, no, this is too much. I can't remember all these places I can't go to right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's not really a tutorial thing per se, but still.
Yeah. There was something I remember now that you mentioned earlier. So with, for example, controls, that they teach you like all the way in the start of the game, and then maybe it's like 2-3 hours later that you actually need it, and then you don't remember whatever it was, and then you either give up or learn it there and then instead. So something that I think Nintendo games does well, as I've heard, is that they display like the controls for doing stuff as they're needed. For example, that you come up to an item and you can like pick it up, and then there's a like a prompt that says pick up every time you are close to something that can be picked up. And then they display not only the name of the controller, like X or A or B or something, but also like display where on the controller it is.
Yeah.
So the player, even if it's, you know, your mom or, you know, somebody who's played a lot, doesn't have to remember, okay, which one was A, but rather they just see it and then recognize, oh, it's this button, click, and then, you know, and then there's no tutorial needed at all. They just see something and then they intuitively get the instructions for how to do what they want to do, for example.
I love the controller pop-up thingy, press X, press B, and yada yada. I remember when I did the Red Colony games, I suppose I did one PC version and one Switch version in terms of the controller layouts, and I remember that was being such a pain in the ass to have different buttons for different systems, and also that I don't like used to have like a sloppy A, like used a circle and A, for example. I want the button to look like the same color as it does on the console. So the PlayStation version, which never came out, I prepared these buttons that had the same colors as the PlayStation buttons. So I do like those visual representations for the buttons you're supposed to press. I used to remember it was quite a hassle to keep them separated from each other when you make a game that is going to go multi-platform. But in Nintendo's case, they don't obviously have to think about that. They just have to focus on their own system. But I was thinking when I made my game, like, I wonder why, if this is why some studios, they write something like action button to avoid having to change the logo And also when it comes to Nintendo, it's just, I played a Kirby with my son. And this A and B that they are swapped, it is such a mindfuck. It doesn't matter how much Nintendo games I play nowadays. I never get used to it. I just never get used to it. And it's just, I can't believe it. Like the final boss in the game, and I can still not figure out what button I'm jumping on. Or it's just, it's so weird how you get used to having the X button on the PlayStation, for example, down there. Oh, it's awful. Yeah. I wish Nintendo swapped them like everyone else. That would be neat, but...
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, I remember there was some game I switched between, if it was like something like Battlefield and some other FPS, and they had like different buttons for like jumping and throwing a grenade. So I remember like every time I wanted to jump, like instinctually I just threw a grenade at something and then just killed myself or something, or just wasted a grenade every time. And it took like 2 weeks to just get rid of that like instinct. So that's kind of fascinating how you really get in tune with the game, so to speak.
Yeah. Now, speaking of that, when we played Fortnite this weekend, so I played on the PC. Those kids that are here, they don't have a PC, so they never played on a PC. And they were just blown away how good I were, like, compared to last year when we played. And they're like, man, have you practiced? And I'm like, no, nothing. It's just like years of Counter-Strike when I was a kid, because it's basically, you know, Counter-Strike, but you have a little character there too. And it just felt so good to play on the PC. And it was, we had a good time. We're going to play one final game tonight. But that's one of those things that when it comes to first-person shooters on console, for example, I think that's impossible almost to play. Unless it's, you know, Fallout or Skyrim, like slow-paced games. But fast-paced games on console I find difficult, because I'm just so used to the PC for that.
Right. Yeah. But I think absolutely, like, my favorite is just trying to, like, the tutorial should be as small and invisible as possible. Like, if you can feel like you as a player just figure it out. But in actuality, that stuff has been guided for you to sort of figure it out on your own, which is really, like, the best solution if possible, I guess.
I always think, like, how do you implement that, and how much extra work is it to implement that? And it's almost like you would have to keep that in mind when you design the game, so those places are in the right places while you play the game, but they shouldn't feel tutorial-ish, because then it will sort of take you out of the experience. It must be really hard to get it right, I guess.
Yeah.
But...
yeah, and it sort of brings to mind the... I think it was the Plants vs. Zombies guy who has a talk called something like how I taught my mom to play my game or something like that. And the way he did it is that... I haven't played the game, so I might be butchering this, but... it was something like so in the beginning of the game, you have certain plants are turrets and certain plants like generate money for you, so you can buy more turrets and upgrade and stuff. And then some players in the beginning who didn't understand the mechanics just bought a lot of turrets, but no plants that generate money for you. And then you run out of money and you don't get that much new money for each round you survive, since it's a turret defense. So then they sort of get stuck, while other players who understood the mechanic just, you know, had it much more easy. So what it ended up doing was that he tweaked the prices of buying the turrets and the... like money generating tower, I guess. So that, if I remember correctly, it was something like the first round you could only afford like or you got like a tower for free or something, like the first round. And then the second round you could only afford the money generating one because it costed less, I think, than the turret. So then automatically everyone had to choose that, but it's sort of like it felt like to the player that that's just a natural consequence of the game, and then you figure out, oh, I can use this to generate money. And then that way it made it like really more simple, than what it tried initially, which was just this very text-heavy tutorialized approach where he said like, oh, you have to do this and they use this strategy to whatever. And then, you know, that didn't work as well as at all.
Yeah, and in a game like that, I suppose it's quite important to get it right, because it's like the main function of the game. So he almost, it almost sounds like he turned that thing into its own function, if that makes it, like its own game in it, within the game, where he have all these scripts and everything that makes it scale to
exactly
to fit the player. But I was gonna say, with my latest game Sunset Moon, there are no tutorials, but I wanted to hear about your game, if you have any plans for tutorials and if you have any idea how to implement them. And if you have done that in any previous games that you've made before.
So I would say that I have not made a tutorial stage before, and I don't know if I plan to have like a separate stage that is just tutorial. Rather, perhaps I'm thinking like to do, so for the current game, since it's just a single button to press, I think there won't be a need for a tutorial. Rather, you'll just figure out, like maybe you'll lose the first round or second, and then you'll figure out what the objective of the game is. Like when you touch the sun, you die. And then if you have one button to press, which is just go faster, then you can stay in the shade. And then if you go too fast, you die as well. So then you'll probably figure out that staying in the shade is sort of what this game is about. Or you could have like a single sentence somewhere, stay in the shade. Something like that. But I think like that was the sort of plan for my previous game as well, that you would just introduce the concepts slowly. We didn't get as far as like a tutorial or like having a demo. We're just building out features slowly and then adding stuff on top of that. So, but I think like trying to do like the Valve approach, and then I think also testing it frequently, especially with the people who are not good at games and don't play games often, and then trying to have them as the benchmark. So if they can quickly understand what you're trying to communicate, then that is a good level. And then you just need to do it in a way where it doesn't dumb it down completely, or it doesn't like stop more experienced players from like progressing wherever they want and going wild, I suppose. So that's my thought process about it.
I'm thinking tutorials in general. I feel like we touched on most of the things we can bring up about tutorials.
But it also brings to mind another thing, which is puzzles, I guess, is sort of connected. I think we've talked about this on previous episodes, but like puzzles are trying to do sort of the same thing, I suppose, as tutorials. They're trying to teach you something, or like making you think about like something that's not super intuitive. So say, for example, you need to do this combination of the combination lock, or you have to move this thing into place to create a shadow, or that, you know, whatever. And that does the same thing, where you also have sort of a mini tutorial for each of those puzzles, or you have to make sure that the player understands what they're doing with it, or even understand that it is a puzzle to begin with.
Yeah.
Even there, you have like the worst example in my mind, which is like Bioshock Infinite or the Skyrim puzzles, which is just like you have three symbols and then you have to just match, like, you have the solution right next to you and then you just have to match those, which is not even a puzzle. It feels like those, you know, children's toys where you have this square hole and triangle hole and just, you know, it feels like sort of like that. And it's not like, oh, you figured it out. It's just read off the shopping list and then boom.
Mm. Yeah, I was just thinking about, I wonder, what is the purpose of those puzzles? And then I was thinking maybe it's like a way to stall you so they load whatever's on the other side of the door. But because it really is so simple.
Yeah, it could be that too. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, probably. But it feels like you could do it in some other way. Like, say that you would have at least like three different types of puzzles and then you just randomize how often they appear or something.
Mm.
Or you just make it like at least a little bit more elaborate, I guess. If you want people to enjoy it. Because it feels like it's just... There's this really funny video about Bioshock Infinite that, you know, some articles said it was like a really smart game, and then somebody cut those articles to, like, the solution of the, like, first puzzle, which is just, you have, like, the note in front of you, like, do exactly this, and then you do it, and then that's it.
Mm.
I'll link it in the description. It's really funny. Yeah, but also I think you have a pet peeve with hints as well, that it doesn't really allow you to figure it out yourself if it is a more complicated puzzle.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I hate it so much that I almost avoid playing these, especially PlayStation first party games, because they always have these... hints where to go and how to solve the puzzles. They give you like 4 seconds to think. And I listened to some podcasts regarding this, especially when it comes to, well, the latest Ragnarok God of War game, and also Horizon 2. Apparently she talks all the time. Can't remember her name, the main character there. Ah, can't believe I forgot. Anyway, they talked about the puzzles in particular in these games, and that's the testers who play these games and think they're too hard. And then it's being...
Yeah.
Or sort of like, you don't want the player to lose his flow, his patience or whatever. So then they just simplify these puzzles to... I feel like the level is so low, and I really feel like they would benefit from having that as an option, especially in these games. They're usually not that hard anymore either, a lot of these AAA games, where, I mean, games in general not that hard because you have endless lives and all that stuff, right? So it would be really cool if these types of games had options, so you could turn off the hints and turn off this bullshit when they talk to themselves and tell you what to do all the time. Like, let me think, let me see, let me explore. I do have the patience, but clearly most of us don't. So people just want to plow through everything. And I feel like that's the, you know, we all play games for different reasons, but I feel like especially in an exploration game, like a part of the game is to explore and find stuff. And then you just have this sort of ADHD game design where they just want to plow you through, go 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 go, you don't have to stop, we tell you what to do. And then it also goes back to like, why are the puzzles here to begin with? Like, if you're not gonna let me stop for a second and think, what's the deal, what's the purpose? You also said that about the Skyrim games, and one thing that came to my mind, which is a really odd one, is that these puzzles that are so simple, there is maybe no point in having so simple puzzles, because it's not challenging you in any way, shape, or form, but there is something special about like a door made of stone opening, that sound effect. That's a very satisfying sound effect. And I wonder, when you were talking about Skyrim, like, I feel like I remember the sounds to this day. If you insert stuff like or whatever, it's just really cool sound effects that are very satisfying, even though I didn't do shit to have to solve anything, but it was just very satisfying. So maybe that could be something too, that there's a why they have these puzzles.
Yeah, I think I agree, it's a nice sound, but I think in that case you could, instead of having like match three symbols, you could have something like receive visible gears, for example. Then you remove a stick from it and then the gears start turning. Or you have like mirrors where you reflect it into something that creates energy and then or something. So and that in that case it would feel like it doesn't feel like a puzzle, but you're just making the thing work. So it doesn't matter that it's a bit simple. Like, you got the thing to work, which is what you wanted. And you get this cool effect anyhow. Like, matching three doesn't really make sense to why it opens the door, I think.
Mm. True, yeah. What's your... The question you threw at me, what was it about? Games that tells you what, give you hints and all that stuff before you even get the chance,
like,
to think.
Too much hints. Yeah.
What's your take on that?
So a follow-up question on that. So say, for example, in some of the Uncharted games, you do get the options where it like says, like, press square to get the hint. And then the other character says something like, oh, maybe you should blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, is that okay, or should it be like no hints?
I think that's better. That's okay. But I also wonder, in Uncharted, when the hint comes up, is it because I press this button? I feel like it tend to just make a sound of it, ding, and then it sort of pushed the camera to where I need to go. Or is it because
that's true with the
square
first one.
Button? Okay. Yeah, well, I'm fine with that. That's cool. Just press the square button and your friend can tell you something. That's perfectly fine. Because then I can just ignore it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
And I think that was, like, with the early ones, I think it's like you say, it just automatically just points the camera to where you need to look, and it goes, you know, that maracas sound or ding, and
yes,
something. And I think that's just based on like you haven't solved it in like 1 minute or whatever time, and then it just assumes you're stupid or something.
Yeah.
But I think the later ones have that feature where it, you know, gives the option of press square and you'll get a hint, and then you can accommodate for the ones who want to spend some time to figure it out, and the people who really don't like it and just want to proceed.
Yeah, it's funny, like some podcast I listened to regarding this years ago, or maybe a year ago, a lot of people are also in the mind that they don't want these puzzles at all. They think it interrupts the game flow, and but to me, that I totally disagree with that. Depending on game, I suppose, but I love these puzzles, especially in the Uncharted games, because I feel like it belongs there. And even like the earlier BioShock games, I thought was funny with the pipes. Quite simple, but I feel like some of them was a bit harder. Like, I feel like they were time-based, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So those were nice,
well,
too.
Well, something to that point is when listening to, I mean, I think Valve is such a like pioneer in so many fields somehow, but when listening to their like developer commentary, which is also such a great feature that I haven't seen anywhere else, but that they said a lot of times where they try to balance what they call fatigue from some sort of gameplay. So you have like a very fast-paced part of the game where it's like fighting or it's something like that, where you have to be very active. But they like purposefully like do that and then have a pause where it's very like mundane or slow paced, so that you sort of get to just not focus on anything and you don't feel stressed or you don't feel like it's boring or whatever. And I like Uncharted is a great example of that, because you have these like fighting sections and you shoot and you duck and you know, for maybe 20 minutes. And then you have like this super slow, but like beautiful scene. Like, I think it's in Uncharted 2 where you climb this like giant golden statue for like half an hour and like slowly ascend up the room, and you have this like beautiful vista and stuff, and it's like no dialogue, you don't think about anything, you just sort of experience. And then after that, of course, the bad guys break in and then you get sort of a fast-paced again. So I think that's also the reason for doing puzzles sometimes, to just sort of break it off and not like tiring the player, I suppose.
Yeah, no, I think Uncharted is really good at that. I sort of break it down to five different elements in Uncharted. The action parts, which for some reason I don't really enjoy at all. I could live without them. But the exploration part, which is, I mean, it's kind of all the time, but I almost, the way I sort of look at the exploration parts in these games are, would be like after I killed all the bad guys, I want to run around and look for stuff, treasures or whatever, hidden places. It's not enough hidden places, though, in the Uncharted games. I feel like the latest one had more, because they had a little bit more open world in the fourth one, so you could find like a small cave or something, and that was always fun. And the climbing parts, and then those moments where you just experience the relax parts, and then the puzzle parts. And I feel like they sort of cycle through them, like repeatedly maybe. Or maybe they don't, but I do like that. They break up the gameplay like that. It's nice. I was thinking about, when you said that, like, you want to have these quiet moments, I was thinking about Mad Max, the Fury Road.
Right.
Yeah. We watched that in 3D in Tokyo when it came out. And I remember, like, because I don't watch movies at all, really. I think that was maybe the first time I watched a movie in years. Literally, like, I never watched movies until I met my wife. We have movie nights nowadays, but it was many years I didn't watch shit. And then I watched that one, and I remember just like it was so intense, the whole film, and I felt almost like exhausted afterwards. Like, wow, that was insane. But I can imagine playing a game if it's constantly that intense. That would be like when I watched gameplay from Quake, for example. That's like, wow, this is insane. This is, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's the same thing with tutorials, I suppose, as well, that you want to have maybe some section where you teach the player something, but then you want to have actual gameplay where they actually get to do stuff as well. And then maybe some more teaching stuff, and then, you know, and Valve, again, is very good at this, I would say.
Mm.
Like, for example, they in the Antlion cave, you have these small grubs that are like, they give you health. And the way that they teach you that they give you health is that they just have this like narrow passage that you have to pass through and you can't avoid them. So then they will give you health after some like combat section. So then you will automatically learn, okay, this gives health. And then not a single word or anything was like spoken, but in actuality it was planned out so the player got to learn about it.
No, that's smart. That's really smart.
Yeah. So it's sort of a, you know, forcing the player to sort of come up with idea that is the actual gameplay, for example. Like, the player feels smart and it doesn't feel like you have to, like, do homework to be able to enjoy a game, for example.
Yeah. No, that's I can't come up. I can't think of any more smart tutorial. I feel like Nintendo must have loads of them. But now the two families are coming home now, so we'll see if this recording will be completely ruined by all the screaming. It's like 500,000 kids here now.
Yeah,
downstairs.
No worries. Everything is fixable in the edit.
See. But Nintendo games are really good at this, by the way, with the tutorials, I feel like. I'm trying to think about Pikmin. We played a demo, my son and I. It was quite annoying. One thing Nintendo does that is super annoying is that when the text pops up, let's say they're going to explain something, they don't allow you to sort of double tap the A button so all the text show up. It's just slowly goes through the screen. It's frustrating. Mm. And another thing they're really good at not allowing you to do is skipping these sort of animations that takes place all the time. For example, in Zelda, when you give all these seeds to a Kokoro tree or whatever, he makes a dance, and then you have like 55 seeds, and you can't skip it. You just have to watch that over and over and over. It's just awful. And they're really good at that. And that was another thing I noticed when we played Pikmin with it. Just in the demo, like, oh man, I wish I could just skip these things because I already read it. Like, and we played through that demo twice, and the second playthrough I knew all of it and I couldn't skip it. But otherwise, they're really good at tutorials and sort of implementing them in the gameplay, I feel like. But I can't come up with any good example.
But that, I guess, is how my brother feels about cutscenes in general, then, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, he's a psycho. So that's.
Yeah, I think maybe that's it for tutorials and puzzles.
Yeah,
good discussion. It feels indeed. Like since we did this episode like early in the history of this podcast, but we discarded it because of audio issues. There's not as much to talk about, I guess, as the first time, but good talk, anyhow, I think.
Yeah, that was cool. Interested to know what people think about tutorials, how to make them and how to make them good, not annoying and disrupting the gameplay.
Yeah, I would love to hear more examples of if you have good or bad examples of tutorials, like what to do and what not to do would be interesting to hear. So please send them in to us, maybe as a voicemail. Who knows?
Ooh, will 2024 be the year you get one?
I hope so. I think so. I feel confident about this year. So everybody, at the bottom of the description is the link for the voicemail, at least on Spotify. So please send us one.
Yes.
I think that'll do it for this episode, and thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Rune, for being my amazing co-host as always.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.